Well, this morning we want to look at the book of Daniel. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. I don't know how many times we've come across people that are very haughty and proudful and boasting constantly about themselves. Maybe you know someone like that today. King Nebuchadnezzar became such a person in chapter 4 of the book of Daniel. God not only had spoken to him in the previous chapter, chapter 3, but God had a purpose and a work to do in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar, even as God has his purposes for our own lives here this morning. And as you look at chapter 3, where King Nebuchadnezzar built this great image, 90 foot tall, 9 feet wide, it was a type of the Antichrist coming, and we studied that last week concerning the Antichrist and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture of the church. But this morning we're going to be dealing with chapter 4, because chapter 4 deals with King Nebuchadnezzar becoming totally insane because he was a man full of pride. Pride totally took this king and his kingdom down completely. So, matter of fact, if we look back in the Old Testament, the first time we find the actual sin of pride, it was among who? Satan himself. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14. And then again in Ezekiel 28, where Satan decided that he would become greater than God. I will ascend to the heavens and sit on the throne of God. The five I wills of Satan. And what did God do? God took Satan and cut him down and cast him out of heaven and sent him to the earth. And there are so many times where people don't understand that pride is ugly and pride is a sin before God. So, matter of fact, in Proverbs 11:2, it says, when pride comes, then shame comes. But with the humble, there is wisdom. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 21:4 says, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plying of the wicked are sin. Proverbs 28:25 says, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will continue to prosper. Then in James 6, chapter 4, verse 6, it says that God exalts the humble, but what? He takes down the proud. And so I think that within each one of our lives, we can say that at one time or other, we have experienced pride in our lives. We have, as a matter of fact. It's so important to understand that God not only is in control of our lives, but as we will see here in this lesson, that the king, not only was God dealing with him, but God gave him a second dream. And in this dream, Nebuchadnezzar thought, by receiving the interpretation, that God was going to exalt him. But the consequences of his sin brought him to actually cutting him down in his kingdom. Look what happens, beginning with chapter 4, verse 1. He says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. So we notice that the king is addressing everybody. It's not just Daniel or his people, but it's addressing the whole world. And at the same time, in the Old Testament as in the New Testament, as we not only study concerning Israel's greetings to the people of God, that peace it be multiplied unto you was not only a Jewish greeting or a Greek greeting, but also a Babylonian greeting. Peace, greeting, multiply to each one of you individually as he begins this whole letter to them. Verse 2. I thought it good to declare unto you the signs and the wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. Now, it sounds that Nebuchadnezzar is a Christian by the way he writes. He's making a marvelous declaration here about Jehovah Elohim, God, concerning the miracles and the signs and the wonders that He already has worked in previous chapters. But then at the same time, Daniel takes the privilege of writing down the king's testimony so that we could have it here this morning. Verse 3. How great are His signs and how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and His dominion is from generation to generation. So he's getting ready not only to make his proclamation, but he's getting ready to actually tell us about his vision and the dream that he had. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Which means what? God was promoting him. God was opening the doors. He was doing really well with the Lord. But then there's something that takes over a person's life when they begin to trust in themselves. And they begin to boast, they begin to brag, they begin to be filled with pride that not even God Himself can speak to that person. You'll see as we proceed. Verse 5. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions on my head troubled me. Therefore, I issue a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Now, why would he do that again when he knows that these guys can't interpret the dreams? I believe that Nebuchadnezzar not only was proving that these guys had no power, but at the same time, Nebuchadnezzar was testing their skills because they were magicians. They were astrologers. They were supposed to be proclaiming the future of men. Verse 7, look. Then the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers came in. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. This time he uses a small g instead of capital G. Notice that. Then he says, in him is the spirit of the holy God. Capital G. Somehow Nebuchadnezzar recognize that Daniel was spirit-filled, that he was a man of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if people that employ us, or people that we associate with, that we work with, or we live by, can they really see a difference in our lives as people of God? Can they see the superiority of the Holy Spirit governing and ruling over my life like Daniel? This is important. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of Daniel was very presently before them. He could see it. Everybody knew it, that Daniel served his God, and that his God had empowered him with the Holy Spirit's power. Check this out. He says again in verse 8. In him is the spirit of the holy God, and I told the dream before him, saying, Daniel, Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know, here it is again, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you. Explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. Notice that he knew that Daniel would go before God, and that he would ask God for the true interpretation. It would not be a lie, but it would be the truth. The magicians and the astrologers were always afraid of the king. they were afraid to say something that would actually cost them their lives. But you know, when God is directing and God is leading and God is anointing, who can you fear? Especially when you speak the truth about God. No one. Especially when it is the word of the Lord. God did speak to me. And this is what he said. He wanted the interpretation and the explanation. Verse 10. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. What did you see? He saw the world. And as he stood out through the world, what did he see? He saw this world with this huge tree going up to heaven, and it was blossoming. This huge tree, blossoming like never before. Then check this out, what else he saw. Verse 11. The tree grew and became very strong. Its height reached to the heavens. And it could be seen to the ends of the whole earth. Everybody could see it. Everybody knew that King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was powerful. Anything he said, it was the gospel. It was the word. And so everybody had heard of his fame. Everybody heard of him and his building of Babylon. Babylon was one of the most beautiful cities in the world. On top of the wall, four chariots could actually ride on top of his walls around the city. That's how big the city walls were. 300 feet high. Incredible. And so he had done a lot. He was a great builder. He was a great leader. He was a great father and probably husband. And at the same time, somehow in his greatness, he began to what? He began to believe himself in his own greatness. Pretty interesting. How many people have you seen and I've seen that they begin to believe and take themselves too serious? That's Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. What's happening to the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, what's happening to his life is he's beginning to get filled with pride. Pride is entering his life. And he doesn't see it. Look what else it says. Verse 12. And its leaves were lovely on the tree. Its fruit was abundant. And in it was food for everybody. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. So this was a great kingdom that not only fed the whole world, but protected the whole world. Whenever you have birds in the scripture, birds are always something symbolically to evil, to Satan. In this great vision that he's having, the tree is what? King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And everyone is seeking after his kingdom. But check this out. Verse 13. And then I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw in the visions of my head while on my bed. And there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. Who's that? An angel of God came down to speak to King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he said, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, chop down the tree and cut off its branches and strip up its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Here is this great, huge tree. And now the dream says what? Cut it down. Speaking of what? Speaking of the fall of King Nebuchadnezzar, is God cuts him down. To me, what it's amazing is that none of us are in control of our lives. God is. And as God blesses and as God anoints and as God promotes, how we keep in a low state of humility But yet, you know what happens, and most people that win the lottery, they get destroyed. They lose everything. Very few people that can handle riches. And the reason is because pride begins to set in the heart of men. And that's what took Satan down from heaven. Pride. Thinking you're something that you're really not. Not giving glory and honor to the Creator of heaven that has opened the door for you to become something in this world and to be lucky to know that God is using my life and His anointing and His leading and His guiding and His providing, and it's none of me but of Him. We forget that it's the Lord. He's the mighty one. God is the one that gives you children and grandchildren. God is the one that gives you a husband or a wife. And yet a lot of times people come to that place in their own personal lives where they begin to take the credit. They begin to boast. They begin to be puffed up. And they begin to actually turn people away from them because nobody wants to be around an actual boaster or proud person. There's an arrogance about them that you don't want to be around them. That was King Nebuchadnezzar. He came to this place where he got so proud. And God says, now it's time to cut you down. We're going to teach you some lessons. Look what happens. Verse 15, even though he cut down the tree, he left the stump and the roots on the earth. Which means what? It can grow back. Bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let him give him a heart of a beast, and let it be seven times until it passes over him. What does he mean by that? Well, this is what God is saying. Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to learn some major, major lessons about pride because I gave you a time and space to repent, but you wouldn't repent. So for the next 7 years, you're going to grow long hair, long nails. You're going to look like totally a street person that's been out there for such a long time. You're going to be actually eating with the animals. And by the way, you are going to become demon-possessed for 7 years. Until you can say, Jehovah God reigns and rules, and He's the one that has given everything to me. Pretty heavy study. How God can lift you up and God can take you down in a moment's time. But you know what's amazing? As you'll read in a moment, God gave him, like he gave Noah, 120 years to repent, for the people of the world to repent. Judah in the northern kingdom of Israel had 160 and 180 years to repent. And it seems that God always is giving people a space of time because of His grace and His love and His mercy to repent. And yet when that person doesn't receive the word of truth in their hearts and doesn't humble themselves, then the judgment of God must come. Look what happens. Verse 16. As his heart is changed seven times. Verse 17. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, the angels, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know, notice that everybody around you may know, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives that to whoever He wills and sets it over the lowest of men. God wants us to be honest. God wants us to be true to whatever we do, whatever we say. We can lie, we can cheat, we can deceive, and at the same time, you're still not going to get your way. God always wins. God always wins. He will always accomplish His will with you or without you. We need to understand that. That we are nothing apart from Jesus Christ. It is He that promotes us. It is He that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. It is He that uses my life to bring glory and honor to His holy name. He does everything for me. Why? Because He wants everybody to know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. In the kingdom of men. God is in control in Washington. God is in control in China. God is in control in Russia, Central, South America, Mexico. God's in control of the whole world. It's not out of order. God overrules. Don't you remember in the book of Esther? When actually there was a guy, Haman, that wanted to kill the Jews. And was looking for the destruction of the Jews. And it just happened divinely that God put Mordecai and Esther in the kingdom of Persia at this time, for such a time as this, because Haman hated Mordecai. Mordecai was hated by Haman. And so what he did is Mordecai was sitting outside, a Jew, and Haman went to the king of Persia and said, "Hey, wouldn't that be something to build some gallows? And wouldn't that be something to promote this person," talking about himself, "to promote him for everything that he's done?" And Haman thought, "Man, I'm talking my way through, full of pride, and I'm going to be the greatest and the best." And what he did is that God went ahead and put Esther on the throne, and Mordecai confessed everything to her, and God turned the tables around on Haman, and the gallows that he actually made and created for Mordecai turned out to be what? That he was hung on those gallows. And God put Esther on the throne to turn around and to save the Jews. God knows what He's doing. God's on the throne. We cannot rule over this world. God rules. We need to understand that. Check this out. This is even goes further on. Verse 18. And then he says what? He says to give to whoever he wills and sets over it who? The lowest of men. What does that mean? He sets people in high places of authority that are humble. That are humble. And that are in submission to God. That's how you climb to the top. God is the one that will take you to the top. Once you humble yourself in the presence of God. Then he says also this, notice. He says in verse 18, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and now you, Belshazzar, Daniel, declare his interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able." Here it is, third time. Why? "For the Spirit of the Holy God is in you." You see that? He knew that Daniel was godly. He knew that Daniel was submitted to his God. He knew that God had anointed him and baptized him with the Holy Spirit's power. He knew who to go to when it came to the truth of God. Daniel was that man. Verse 19. "Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for a time. He couldn't believe what he saw. And his thoughts troubled him. And so the king spoke and said, 'Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you.' Belshazzar answered and said, 'My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies.'" What happened is when he saw Daniel totally going through it, he said, "Hey, Daniel, don't be afraid to tell me the truth." And Daniel turns around and says, "Well, king, I hope that when I tell you the truth, you don't get offended, because the dream is not against your enemies, but it's against you. It's against you." Verse 20. "The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, in which was food for everybody, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, in whose branches the birds of the heavens had their home. It is you, O King. Notice that. It is you, O King. You've conquered the whole world in your day, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. As inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, the angel, the Holy One, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and its roots on the earth, bound it with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King. Here it is. And this is the decree of the Most High God, which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive you, O King Nebuchadnezzar. They, notice the word they, demons. Satan's adversaries. Demons will drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like the ox. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. 7 years shall pass over you. Why? Until you know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. There it is again. Who's in control? God. Why is God allowing him to become demon-possessed and kicking him out of his kingdom and sending him to be like a wild beast in the world so that he can repent? So that he can repent. God knew that it would take 7 years for him to repent. He didn't say 1 year or 2 years or three, 7 years. Watch this. This is so incredible. Verse 26. Inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that the heavens rule. Hey, I will restore you back into power, but not until you repent and you what accomplish what I'm trying to teach you, Nebuchadnezzar, that I am God and I rule. Verse 27. Therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. God is saying here, I'm going to give you an opportunity. The judgment will not come suddenly. I'll give you a time of opportunity. The problem with Nebuchadnezzar, you're full of pride, you're sinning, you're not doing what's right, and then you're oppressing the poor. You're stealing from the poor, and you're abusing them and using them. I'm going to give you a time to repent. Verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. The fulfillment came. At the end of 12 months, check that out, one whole year God gave him to repent through his grace, through his love, through his mercy. I wonder how many people here or outside of this church, God has said, hey, the time is just about to come because you haven't responded to what I have said to you. Watch what he says. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about his royal palace of Babylon. And what is he doing? He says, is this not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my might, my power, for the honor of my majesty? Notice, my. Verse 31. And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you today. Notice that. His fall came. The tree was chopped down. Look what happens to him. Verse 32. And they shall drive you from men, demons, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like the ox. 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. Third time he said that. He's trying, you get the point? But he didn't get the point. That very hour, the word of the Lord was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from the men. He ate grass like the oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like birds with claws. Can you imagine that? From royalty to nothing. From royalty to nothing. Maybe God has blessed you with a lot. Be careful. Be careful what you have. Making sure that whatever we have or what we don't have, that we continually understand that God is the one that is in control of my life. Sometimes he blesses others that he won't bless me. Should I become jealous and covetous? Never. Be content where God has you. Be content. Allow God not only to work in you, but through your life. As you keep yourself under His submission. Under Him. Under His feet. Because it's very easy to start boasting and become a braggart and get full of pride and not even know it. Especially when people are fleeing from you. They're not gathering to you because they see your boast. And they see the pride in your face. May God help us and keep us from pride. For God is the one that sets up one and takes down the other. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from the Lord. He's the one. Nebuchadnezzar found out, man, the hard way. Listen what else happens to him. Verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned to me for the glory. You see, again, what have I done? Verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned to me after 7 years for the glory of my kingdom, my honor, my splendor returned to me. My counselors, my nobles restored it to me. I was restored to my kingdom and excellent majesty was added unto me. Why? Because he came to the end of his life. After 7 years, and he realized, man, what am I doing? God is the one that has promoted me. God is the one that has given everything to me. And when God saw the real heart of King Nebuchadnezzar, God was able to restore his life as God will restore your life. If you're honest, he'll promote you. He'll set you back where you were before. That's the way God works. Look what else he says. Verse 37. He says, he restored excellency, majesty added to me. Now I, King Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven and all of whose works are truth and his ways in justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Wow. He is able to put down. What an awesome lesson this morning for every one of us. A person who walks in pride has never had a personal encounter with the true God. Never had a true encounter with true God. Why? Because to God be the glory and the honor and the power and everything and all worship and honor belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the one that has blessed us. He's the one that has lifted us up. He's the one that is working not only today, but will continue to work in me and through me until Jesus Christ comes again. And we have to remember that. Father, we come before you this morning to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. And Lord God, for everything that you're doing in the church here, Father, with every person here. Lord God, we pray this morning That your Holy Spirit would deal with every individual person here in the sanctuary and there in the coffee house too, Lord. I don't know who's here this morning, but if you're here for the first time or you've been here before, and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to humble yourself and repent, and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then He'll cleanse you, He'll wash you by His blood, He'll write your name in the book of life, and He will give you eternal life this morning. I don't care who you are and what you've been through.